I'm John Wells. I'm here with Chris Cherniak, our first guest this morning, Radha Agrawal, who has written Belong, Find Your People, Create Community, and Live a More Connected Life. Social media has become the new fast food, the initial rush of happiness and instant gratification quickly replaced by feelings of loneliness and disconnect once the smart device is put down. It's easy to get likes, but so much harder to get a friend. Agrawal calls this community confusion. She joins us this morning to share ideas on how we can find our people, create community, and live a more connected life. Radha Agrawal, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And maybe we can start off with this, your epiphany. When you turned 30, you realized that you didn't belong, and it was one of those life-changing moments for you. And as a result of this epiphany, everything has changed for you. So tell us about that moment.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it, right? We go through so much of our lives in some ways sleepwalking. You know, we fall into friendships, we stumble into friend groups, and that's what happened to me in my 20s. I spent my days and my nights in bars, you know, sports bars, watching sports I didn't want to watch and drinking beer I didn't want to drink. And then, you know, attracting the wrong friends that didn't fill me up, you know? So when I turned 30 years old, I looked myself in the mirror and I realized, gosh, where are my people? I don't belong. And that was the beginning of my journey of really deep self-exploration first, because, you know, we are so quick to look outside of ourselves. And ultimately, the first half of my book talks about going inside and really getting to know what you value, what you're interested in, what you're good at. So when you go out to find your people, you'll have all the sort of tools and understanding of yourself before you do.
You know, when your publisher first sent me the book, I wasn't sure if it was applicable for Cool Science Radio. We have a lot of scientists on, you know, nanotechnologists, astrophysicists, biologists, you know, and mathematicians and all that sort of thing. But then I took a look at your book, and science is about observing the world around us. It's about trying to understand the world around us, and it's also about trying to do something about the world around us. And you not only observe the world, but you get out there and try to do something about it. So I just want to let you know, you are a scientist.
Thank you. Actually, I call all of our events and experiences experiments. And we're always doing what I call social experiments. And that's really what Daybreaker, my first big community that I built, was. It was a social experiment that I launched in December of 2013. And the idea was, what if we took all the positive aspects of nightlife, so the connection, the dancing, the community element, and removed all of the negatives, so the mean bouncers, the alcohol, the drugs, all the sort of negative aspects of nightlife, the spilt drinks, and really sort of just focused on the positives. And so the experiment was, let's do this in the morning when our energy is the most full, where science has shown that we're the most optimistic or the most joyful in the morning when our cup is full. So that was the big experiment, and it worked. It turns out that when you get 500 people in a room who are sober and just dancing on each other's high, on their way to work, wearing costumes, drinking green juice, the euphoria, the energy, the joy is honestly unparalleled. And we launched in New York City, and from there it exploded across the world. We're now in 23 cities around the world with a community of almost 500,000 people. And it's interesting, I talk to doctors, I talk to scientists all the time, and they talk about how everything in life ladders back down to this feeling of belonging, this exhale of, I'm home, you know, and so much of our depression, our anxiety, our sickness, our illness comes from our lack of belonging. So it very much is science-based.
Radha, it's really interesting, though, that the thing you have to do first, as you described it, is to go inside yourself. And I agree with that entirely, because belonging requires you to kind of belong with yourself, not to yourself,
exactly.
Or by yourself, but belong with yourself. So what were the steps that you took back when you were in your early 30s to belong with yourself?
Absolutely. So the first thing I did was sit down with a cup of tea and write my name down on a piece of paper. And then around my name, I wrote five of the people I hung out with. Like, who are the people I spent my time with? Mm-hmm. And really asked myself, were they bringing me up or bringing me down? And then from there, I realized, wow, I really wasn't inspired by these relationships. So So let me go ahead and do this sort of personal exercise that I kind of made up for myself. It was a three-column list. Column one was all the qualities I was looking for in a friend. And I wanted friends to talk about ideas and not each other. I wanted friends who were adventurous and said, yes, with an exclamation point, you know? So I wrote down literally all the qualities I was looking for in a friend. I think about we never do that for our friendships. We do that for our romantic relationships, for our professional careers, but rarely do we ever do that for our friends. And then column two was all the qualities that I didn't want in a friend. I didn't want shoulder shruggers, lazy friends, mm-hmm. couch potatoes. And I wrote down literally every, you know, negative Nellies, people who talk badly about one another. I just wrote down all of those things as well. And when you get intentional about writing these things down, it really becomes a reality. And then column three was all the qualities I needed to embody in order to attract the friends that I wanted, which was perhaps the most important column,
right?
Which was, I need to be less of a workaholic. I need to be a better listener. I need to be less judgmental, all those things. And so it was a wonderful exercise for me to look in the mirror and ask myself, how am I showing up? What energy am I bringing into a room? And I think we should all do that assessment. Are we bringing rooms up when we walk into it? Are we bringing rooms down? And I give you all kinds of tips and tricks in my book for how to reset your energy, how to get back to the authentic, joyful version of yourself in the first half of my book.
Right, and it's also a more authentic self in that sense.
Exactly, that's the thing. It's authentic when we are authentically ourselves.
Right.
But so often we radiate this version of ourselves that we think our parents want from us, or our friends, or society, or our school, or our teachers think of you know how we should be, and that's not always authentic. We are such unique individuals in these funny meat suits, you know, that we get to be in for 100 years, and so it's up to us to really be authentic, courageously authentic, really is the word.
Did you have to let any of those friends go? Sorry, I have to.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm sure you're thinking about that right now, right?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. We grandfather our friends and we say, oh, they've been there for me in these times, and I need to stick by them. And it's first step one is not about just ghosting them or shutting them out. It's about having, a courageous conversation. Sitting them down and saying, listen, I just want you to know that for the last, few months, whenever we get together, I don't feel good when we leave. I feel like there's something going on. Is there something going on in your life? And first put it on them and say, is something going on in your life that you can share? Maybe their parent is sick, or maybe they're going through a stressful career change. There might be some variable that's really affecting them. First, first reach out as a human being and say, hey, how can I support you in this time? And if that doesn't work, then of course it's, then the second conversation or third conversation becomes, listen, I'm really focusing on surrounding myself with the joyful sort of energy right now. I need it for myself. And, I'm here for you.
Right.
If you're just joining
us. I'm here for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, actually, I'm here for you if you need, but I need to take care of myself too.
Right.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Radha Agrawal, who has written the book Belong, Find Your People, Create Community, and Live a More Connected Life. Radha, there's thousands of books that have been written, how-to books, how to study for SATs, how to write a college application, a resume, lose weight, gain weight, do this, do that, just that. But I just don't know of any books that talk about how to belong. And because it was a unique book for me when the publisher sent it to me again, I sat down and went through it and read the book and went through it in detail, and it is it just makes sense, and it's a way to sort of reinvent yourself, a sort of a cliche, but it's a way of architecting your life and building a life with a friend base, with a community base, which is somewhat unique. So talk about the 23 cities and what the sweet spot is for age. I'm sure you've got a range of ages. You talk in the book about people in their 70s and 80s that really don't have anyone in their life, that are isolated. A 70-year-old or an 80-year-old may not be able to make one of your dance-a-thons, but you know, how do we help those people? And tell us.
Actually, Jane Goodall has been a daybreaker with her friends.
Has she? Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we think that she was studying a new set of apes, us. but it was really cool to have her there. Yeah, it was neat.
Well, what's the sweet spot for the ages that attend this morning ritual?
Yeah, so it started with, you know, sort of people my age, you know, sort of I'm 39, but anywhere from 25 to 40 sort of was the beginning kind of age range. But then all of a sudden, we really began focusing on multi-generational communities. And for me, that is actually one of my tenfold sort of missions with Daybreaker, which is to reconnect all of the age groups. Because we used to hang out around a fireplace, all of us. You know, we all used to sort of connect intergenerationally, and all of a sudden it became segregated through advertising and marketing saying, hey, just talk to millennials. Hey, just talk to Gen Z, baby boomers. And all of a sudden we isolated ourselves from one another. And so we began a really big campaign with Daybreaker around the world to invite people of all generations. So we partnered with, you know, elder communities. We partnered with parent groups. And now we have little kids coming with their parents' shoulders. Because we're alcohol-free, substance-free, we're safe for everybody. So, you know, I'm 39, almost 40. I have a baby in my belly. I'm 6 months pregnant. I don't want to go to a bar where people are spilling drinks on me. So it's safe for me as a parent to go. And when my parents came actually recently for the first time, they're in their 70s and they had the absolute best time. My mom, that they cried, and they're, you know, they're Indian Japanese immigrant, you know, sort of kind of grouchy sometimes, and they absolutely loved it too, and they couldn't believe just how included they felt. And that's really the word that I talk about all the time with our team, is inclusivity, and how can we make every single person there feel deeply included. So we replaced the bouncer, for example, with a hugging committee. So every single person on their way to Daybreaker across the world gets a hug, and we have even like hugging workshops on how to hug in a non-creepy way.
Exactly.
So it's all science-based, I tell you.
But it's all, I'm sorry, but it's all physical-based. It's all physical presence that's required, because Facebook would say the same thing. You know, Facebook is, you know, brands itself on
Facebook
the idea of
Facebook misses a lot. Yeah,
right,
Facebook misses a lot.
Okay, so let's talk about the difference between what Facebook communities are and what your communities are.
So I call it the dose of Daybreaker, and this is in my sort of research on the science of dance, actually. I'm you know, I'm Asian, I like science.
Sure.
And I actually wanted to ask, I really wanted to do some research to understand, you know, what is it about live human-to-human experiences, a dance experience, the morning that connects people in such a meaningful way? I mean, I've had thousands of messages, conversations with people over the last 5 years who have shared their transformational experience that they, of course, have never gotten on social media. And I distilled it down to this acronym that I call the dose of Daybreaker. So dose, and it could be dose of whatever, just really your dose. And dose, which is wild, no one has ever put this together, but stands for dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphin. So these four happy brain chemicals you can release when you design an experience with intention and thought. So so at Daybreaker, we actually design our experience to help our community members release their entire dose, all four happy brain chemicals. So the dopamine you get from the pleasure reward of waking up early before everyone else does and checking something off your list, right? Mm-hmm. The dopamine you also get from listening to music. The oxytocin, which is perhaps the most important thing that you can never get from Facebook or any online social media sort of platform, is the human-to-human interaction, the contact that we get. Mm-hmm. So oxytocin you can only get from hugging someone, you know, sort of from connecting someone on a dance floor. It's what we call the contact high. You know, when you go to a concert, you're sort of high. It's not from getting drunk. It's actually from being around hundreds or thousands of people. There's science behind the fact that the oxytocin that is released from just bumping shoulders to shoulders, it gives you a high. Mm-hmm. So at Daybreaker, you get a hug at the door, you're bumping into people on the dance floor, you're holding hands with people. So the oxytocin, you know, here's a wild stat for you. Americans on average touch each other upwards of once in a conversation. This is a study, that famous study, versus Puerto Ricans who touch each other upwards of 150, 180 times in a conversation. Hmm. And guess what the number one pornography viewer in the world is.
United States, yeah.
Americans are the number one pornography. So for all of our sort of, we're just physically starved for affection and we turn to pornography instead. So, you know, our goal again is to, and again, because of all the sort of, how litigious this society is, you can't hug your students anymore. You can't pat the students on their heads anymore. You know, in school, there's just so much sort of regulation around touch. Sorry, let me just get out. Hold on one second.
Step outside.
Sorry about that. We are right now at Nike headquarters for their Just Do It Day, and we're doing a big Daybreaker event to celebrate their 30th anniversary with Colin Kaepernick, actually, who just, you know, I don't know if you saw the big news about Nike.
Absolutely.
But that's what we're, so we're here at their headquarters in Portland, Oregon, and we have about 600 Nike employees coming to a Daybreaker event this morning to celebrate Just Do It Day and this big campaign. So it's a very, very exciting moment for us. So I apologize for some of us heading over here.
Oh, no problem. I remember a study.
So just to finish off, the serotonin, the oxytocin you get from touch, the serotonin you get from feeling a sense of worth is bigger than me. Our MCs at Daybreaker, we train them to release, sort of help our community members feel like, oh, this is bigger than me. So much of why our serotonin is low is because we're so focused on ourselves, the selfie sort of economy, the what I call lame in my book, the look at me economy, right? So we have forgotten how to be bigger than ourselves. Our serotonin is very low. So at Daybreaker, you feel that sort of, we train our MCs across the world to really help you feel like this is bigger than me. And then the endorphins, the E in dose we get from, of course, working out, the runner's high, the sweating on the dance floor, you burn up upwards of 500 to 1,000 calories at a Daybreaker event. So we've really thought through not just throwing an event and, you know, kind of getting people in a room, but really how to support people in releasing their natural high.
And back to physical touch, one of the first studies that I remember reading was probably about 20 years ago when they had these premature babies that were born, and they had two groups, one group that would receive a small massage every morning, and the other group did not have any physical touch. And the ones that got the massage, boy, they thrived. They ate more. They gained their weight. They were released from the hospital earlier. I mean, there were so many positive aspects to it. I wanted to ask you, how do you manage or how do you counsel the people at these Daybreaker events about physical touch and at the same time to keep them away from, well, not keep them away, but just to counsel them. I mean, you have this fine line between physical touch and sex.
And inappropriate.
Yeah, between appropriate and
absolutely.
Inappropriate.
Yep. So we have all of that training, which is, you know, we all of our MCs also say, you know, grab someone by the hand and dance with your neighbor. If you don't want to, that's totally cool. You got to do you. So instead of saying, oh, come on, why don't, you know, for a while, our volunteers, our team members didn't really know how to react when someone rejected their hug at the door. Well, of course, we know that there's trauma there. There can be trauma there. So we've now since trained our team to say, you know, high five them or just say, hey, you know, do you, all of this is consensual. And yeah, we're very, very safe in that environment. And again, you know, we really have, because we're a 6 a.m. sober morning dance party on a weekday, we haven't really had, I've had one incident where I had to ask somebody to leave, but that was it. In 5 years, it's been knock on wood, an incredibly respectful, inclusive, environment.
So you haven't just written a book that you have some ideas on the subject. You have extensively field tested this as you've set up the 23 sites around the world. So for our listeners, I know you have 10 foolproof ways to nurture community, but just pick a couple and talk about them, what you have learned.
Absolutely. So the first thing that we learned is that we're no longer listening to each other. You know, look at our polarized political system. So one of the biggest gifts we can give to each other to nurture your community, because sometimes it can be easy to make a friend, but the hard part is to actually keep a friend, right? So, you know, so I offer that in the book. And one of the things, the best gift that we can give that will continue wanting your friends to come back for more is presence and listening. If you can just be present and listen to your friends, that is the biggest gift we can give. Mm-hmm. That is sort of number one on my sort of how to nurture your community. And then, of course, I give several other sort of ways to nurture, one of which is things like silly gifts. right? So often we just come empty-handed now to gatherings when we used to back in the day bring apple pie that we baked, right? So, you know, one great example is my dear friend David, who's a CEO of a, you know, an agency, and should be quite serious talking about his 401k plan. But instead, at breakfast, we had breakfast at a restaurant, and he pulls out of his pocket a miniature pumpkin, and he just puts it on the table. And I just said, "What are you doing, David?" And he just said, I just brought some table garnish for our breakfast." And I just remember laughing and just, you know, just thinking, what a thoughtful, ridiculous, playful thing to do. And, you know, another friend brought paper crowns to a big dinner party who also is sort of the CEO of a company. And, you know, we can take ourselves so seriously as adults. And one of the best ways to nurture community members and nurture our friendships is to bring more play back into our lives and stop taking ourselves so seriously. Another example that I could give is gold stars. I, you know, my fiance, his father was sick in the hospital, and I brought him gold stars, and I gave gold stars to all the nurses, the doctors, everyone who came in and who treated him well. They all got gold stars, and boy, were the doctors happy to receive. They put them on their badges. They were competing with each other for how many gold stars they received. We're all kids at the end of the day, pretending to be adults. And so I think if we invite more play into each other's lives, bring more gifts to, you know, small sort of thoughtful things like that that cost a few dollars, it could really lighten the experience, make everybody want to spend more time with you. A couple examples, but there's 10 really fun ones.
Well, I like the idea that you focus or emphasize the component of listening skills, having people that are good listeners, because that's what I look for in bonding with friends, like those who listen to me. And you know who listens really well? Women. Women are wonderful listeners. Men, not so well.
Absolutely.
Men listen to you only to wait for you to stop talking so they could tell you what you need to do to fix your problems. Women are just wonderful listeners. That's why I think I gravitate towards the company, among other things, towards the company of women.
I'll take it.
All right. So we only have a minute or two left. Where is the nearest Daybreaker event to us in Park City? Might there be one in Salt Lake City?
We are going to launch one soon, basically to unlock any city around the world. We've implemented this one wonderful game, which is have 3,000 people sign up in your city, and we will unlock your city. So, for example, we have currently 4,000 email signups in San Diego, so we're about to launch San Diego in September. Mm-hmm. We have 3,500 signups in Sydney, Australia, so we're launching Sydney as well in the fall. And so it's really fun. So basically offer the power to the citizens of that city to accumulate 3,500 excited, 3,000 excited community members to get Daybreaker there. So that way we're not wasting our time by trying to go to a city that doesn't want us there. And we really galvanize community before we get there. So that's sort of how we do it. So, and if you go to daybreaker.com, we're in Colorado. So that would probably be the closest city. We're in Denver and Boulder. Mm-hmm. And if you go to daybreaker.com and you put your email address in and find your city in the drop-down menu, you'll start getting our secret invitations. We don't do any advertising or marketing. It's all very much word of mouth like this. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it really fun, too. You have to kind of discover us.
Radha Agrawal has written Belong, Find Your People, Create Community, and Live a More Connected Life. Radha, best of luck with your book, with your event at Nike, with Colin, and everything else. And thanks for
joining
us. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, the book, actually, if you want to get more information on the book, is belongbook.com.
Belongbook.com. Hey, thanks so much, and thank you for joining us on Cool Science Radio.
Thanks, Radha.
Thank you. I love Cool Science.
Okay. Pleasure. And you are a scientist. Remember
yes,
that.
Thanks. Thank you.
That's fun to say that. All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, good. See you. Bye-bye. Well, that was fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope maybe event comes to Salt Lake City if enough sign up.
You and I both like to dance. I think we could have some fun.
I do?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I know, but you do, but maybe you don't know
I
that.
I do like the dose.
Yes.
I do want to improve my dose of dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. There's no downside to that.
Not at all.
Okay.
Hey, when we return, we're going to have a conversation with Tor Hansen, who has written Buzz, The Nature and the Necessity of Bees. Stay with us. You're listening to Cool Science Radio.